together, more than happy to take some details on that.
Thank you.
So just to clarify your requirements as a council, what time frame would the community need to present something to you for consideration?
Through the chair, we'll have to get back to you on that one, Marcus, because we've got a distinct time frame that we've got to work to make sure that any farmer that does potentially take over the lease is able to take it over soon. I'll have to get back to you on that one, but it would have to be pretty soon, I would have thought.
Yeah.
We're basically getting ready to put it out for tender in the next couple of weeks.
Karina.
Karina Wilson again. Oh, yeah. On June the 26th, I attended the Shire office and asked to inspect the register of caravan park licences. The Shire is required to keep under section 14(1) of the Caravan Parks and Camping Grounds Act. On July the 1st, I was emailed a document titled Copy of the Shire of Boyupbrook Register of Caravan Parks. Its own document metadata show it was authored by Angela Hales, Microsoft Excel at 10:11 that morning, and emailed to me the same day, 2.5 hours later. It is undated, unsigned, and does not record the particulars. Regulation 66 of the Caravan Parks and Camping Ground Regulations prescribes the type of licence. Schedule 2 recognises 6 licence types, and tourist park short stay is not one of them. The number and type of sites authorised, overflow areas, or any conditions imposed. The question is, what is the Shire's correct procedure for creating an official document, and did the officer who authored this one follow it? The document carries no document record, no document or record number from the Shire's record system, no date, no signature, and no responsible officer, yet it was supplied to a member of the public as the Shire's statutory register. Was it registered in the Shire's record-keeping system as required under the State Records Act before it was sent, and does the Shire say this document satisfies 14.1 of the Act and Regulation 66?
Thank you. I can't answer that.
Through the chair, the document was provided as requested, are you correct? And we are stand by the staff who provided that document. I'm sure and 100% sure they know what they're doing on that. So yes, that information is what you've got.
But can I just ask a further question? Why is it not done in the correct way that's required by state law? Why is it not? It had nothing on it. There was no document number, no author, no date that it was approved, or anything. It contained none of those things. And the short stay tourist park thing is not a type of license in the Caravan Parks and Camping Act. It's not in the list. There's 6 things, and that is not one of them. And the place is zoned a special use zone. It says caravan park. The caravan park type that is permitted allows long stays.
Through the chair, so that's 2 different legislations you're referring to. One would
two
be
two different ones.
2 different legislations. So the zoning is developed under the planning scheme.
Yep.
Planning and Development Act. The caravan park one is under a different legislation, and I believe that does comply with what you were requesting.
Which legislation is the second one?
That I'll have to get the exact name for you. I don't know the exact name where it is.
It's Caravan Parks and Camping Grounds Act.
Well, that's different to the local to the Planning and Development Act. So it's two different acts that we're referring to when you talk about the zoning and you talk about the caravan park.
Thank you, Karina. Any further questions? Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, Christian Jones, Post Terrace, Boyerbrook resident. I didn't actually come in with a question tonight. I was really more curious than anything, than what's actually happening in the community. Given what I've seen and everything, the questions that are coming up, the issues that continually get raised, and also my own concerns with Boyerbrook and how it's going about its business. There's a couple of things. Number one, I took an interest tonight mainly because I have been in discussions with other people regarding the possibility of using Rylington Park in test trials and this sort of thing. Now, I've had correspondence with the CEO regarding this, and in a way, and I'm happy to table the letter to the meeting that I received. In a way, honestly, it felt like it was being shut down in the letter I received with regard to doing test trials at Rylington Park. It was just merely a conversation that I started, and I thought, well, considering the heat on Rylington Park at the moment, I guess that's fair to just take your hands off it and walk away. And, you know, it's easy for me to do that because I'm not invested at all. But there is, you know, what I'm looking into at the moment, there's serious, you know, possibilities to develop industries and this type of thing. And like, again, like I don't need to go into it, but I'm happy to table my letter. But yeah, it felt like it was shut down. I felt like I was shut down. I feel like, because I've only been back in Boyerbrook and I have been hiding away for personal reasons, but I feel like, you know, what I hear about the community, you can only hear about it through, you know, Facebook or people talk and this sort of thing. And the community that I came from was pretty tight and everybody was looking after each other and everybody was sort of, kind of knew what was going on. But I do feel like at the moment there's a PR issue with the with the council, and it sounds like it has been for some time. I guess the way that people hold themselves or the way that they communicate is a big part of that. And so you're going to have battles either side, which is what's happening, essentially is what's happening. You've got to... I know that you guys are saying, well, we're doing everything that we've been meant to be doing. And on this side, they're saying, well, hang on a second, no, this shouldn't be happening. This wasn't how it was meant to be. And there's been no communication moving forward. So my question after that, and again, happy to table the letter I received, which was shutting down test trials at Rylington Park. My question is, does the council recognise that there is a PR issue, number one? Okay. And number two, what will be done, if it's recognised, to get the community more involved in these sort of decisions? Because it does sound like it's just rolling along and then all of a sudden you're going to hit a wall, community going to arc up and there's going to be a problem. So is there a way that we can get better communication with regard to these things before they become issues?
Thank you, Christian. So we do recognise that there may have been a bit of an issue with communication, but the minutes are always published on the website and everyone is welcome to attend a meeting. So, and all our council phone numbers, councillors' phone numbers are on the website. You can call and speak to a councillor anytime if you have any problem. You don't need to get your news from Facebook. You need to get it from the correct source without picking out just the juicy bits. Get the full story. So we are having community meetings once a month now. We're having them at two different times, one at 9 o'clock, one at 5 o'clock, so that it just can be available for everyone.
No, I do understand that. I wanted to just come back. I don't know how this meeting's worked, but I understand you've had Karina ask a couple of questions, which they're on the website. We're sitting in front of a screen.
Mm.
You know, I'm sure you can read her frustration. You know, is there any reason why we can't just say, okay, so let's just bring it up here?
But we don't have everything on hand to just bring up on the screens. Right. If we were prepared, if we knew exactly what the questions were, no questions had been provided to us beforehand.
Okay, yeah. But that's my point, is there's a way to communicate.
Yeah. And it says in the agenda, like, if you have some questions, provide them early and then we can be prepared to answer your questions instead of just taking them on notice. We don't take questions on notice if they've already been provided. Okay. Thank you, Andrew.
I take your point, what you've seen on Facebook, and, yeah, it's pretty horrific, right? However, look, I look around here, and yes, there is a question. I look around here, I see a lot of tech, right? I see a heap of tech. I hear mentions of websites to little old ladies who are clearly struggling, right? Websites, it's on the website. Then I look around and I see a lot of people that aren't necessarily tech savvy. Right? Yes, they're able to go on Facebook, but they haven't got time to troll through and through and through websites. You had a little old lady today say she spent 3 days looking for some figures. Surely, somebody could say, no worries, we will print all of them out to you. We'll give them to you.
We can do that
as a community. We can do better with communication. And so my question is, will you do better in communication?
Yes, thank you. Jacko.
Yeah, I do have a question, but first of all, I'd like to say I think what this meeting has shown that we need more transparency.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's what's needed, is more transparency. My question is, though, why is the Shire and the custodians of the caravan park so keen to get rid of the long-term residents when, at the moment, across Australia, we have a real shortage, or we have a lot of homeless people that are looking for somewhere to live? Surely the income from the long-term people that are there this time of the year must help with what it costs to run the joint, because you aren't going to get any tourists here this time of the year and not many other times here either. Usually they only get when they get lost, you know, when they get lost. So why would you want to push those people out that are paying some money?
As the matter is before the State Administrative Tribunal, we're not allowed to comment on that.
Yes, I understand that, but I'm just making you aware of what we feel, because I'm not on Facebook either, and I'm not a, as referred to by a councillor's wife here as being a warrior. What do you call it? A keyboard warrior. I'm not one of them either. But I listen to other people in the public, and people come and ask me questions. A couple of councillors have asked me questions, actually. So we need some transparency, but I'd still like to know why the custodians from Queensland want to get rid of the long-term residents, whether they have the power to, whether the Shire has the power to remove them. If they're living there and they're paying their rent, which they all seem to be pretty keen to stay and pay their rent, what's the problem?
As the matter is before SAT,
yes,
we are unable to comment on that.
SAT. Okay.
Thank you. So the Shire is very transparent. Everything is available. Printed copies of the minutes are available. If you come to the administration office, we can provide you with a printed copy. We're not just going to print copies out and put them everywhere on every corner so that you can come and take them. Or we could just put your rates up so that we can afford all the printing costs and posting them out to everything. Karina, you could get your AI assistant to help you with looking for the minutes.
Thank you. I've got one question. One question. We need a month's notice to call a meeting of the public in the town hall. I've got 27 farmers' names down and some of their phone numbers that never got any communication or any input on what was happening to Rollingdon Park. So if that doesn't tell you that something's wrong, well, the Pope's a Catholic.
Thank you. I think we'll adjourn the meeting for 15 minutes for a bit of a rest break. Thank you. Meeting adjourned at, what is the time? 7:16. Welcome back, everyone. Reconvene the meeting at 7:30. So I will now close public question time because it's been for over an hour now, so everyone has had an opportunity to answer their questions. And what point of order would that be, Mr. Ball?
Andrew Ball, on a point of order. Just prior to you calling in to the public question time, you launched a personal attack against a member of our community. I would respectfully ask that you retract your statement and apologise to the member of the public concerned. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I retract that statement that I made, and I apologise sincerely to Karina. It's been a bit of a hectic hour, so you can understand.
No.
No? Okay. I apologise to Karina. I will personally write to Karina and apologise. Thank you. Question time is now closed. Move on to declarations of interest. Financial and proximity interest. We have one declaration of interest from Councillor King for item 10.3.1, and that's a financial interest. Item 6, previous council meeting minutes, 6.1. Officer recommendation reads that the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 25th of June 2026 be confirmed as a true and accurate record. Do I have a mover for that motion, please? Councillor King, seconded Councillor Ingalls. Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. 6.2, special council meeting minutes of the 7th of July. The officer recommendation to receive those minutes as being confirmed and as a true and accurate record. Could I have a move for that motion, please? Councillor King, seconded Councillor Matthews. All those in favour? Carried. Presidential communications. It is with sadness that I acknowledge the passing of Sandra Towndrow on the 2nd of July 2026 and Stuart Kelly on the 16th of July 2026. Sincere condolences are extended to their family and friends. I would like to acknowledge local sporting legend Jodie Neild, who is currently representing Australia in the Women's Over 50s Master World Cup in Rotterdam, Netherlands. Jodie and her team have progressed to the semi-final, which is being held tomorrow, and we wish them all the very best of luck. Professional development continue this month with my participation in 2 days training delivered by Welga in Leadville, followed by an Audit, Risk and Improvement Committee governance workshop in Corrigan with Councillor Ingalls, CEO Leonard Long and independent committee member Richard Walker. Ongoing learning is an important part of local government, helping elected members remain up to date with legislation, governance practices, and current issues affecting the local government sector. A special council meeting was held on the 7th of July where council resolved to remain a member of the Warren Blackwood Alliance of Councils for a further 6 months while the Alliance develops its revised operational model. The Alliance, which includes the Shire of Boyup Brook, Bridgetown and Greenbushes, Donnybrook and Bailingup, Manjimup and Nanup, is evolving to provide greater opportunities for shared services, cost savings and value for member councils. Our first Community Matters session was held on the 8th of July. Thank you to the community member who joined us and took the opportunity to connect, ask questions and share his ideas. Everyone is welcome to the next session scheduled for Wednesday, the 5th of August at 5 p.m. at the Council Chambers Conversation Table, which is just behind me. Meetings were held this month with the Honourable Hannah Beasley, MLA, Minister for Local Government, Mr. Bevan Eats, MLA, Member for Warren Blackwood, the Honourable Steve Thomas, MLC, and representatives of the South West Development Commission. The primary focus of these discussions was the Forest Products Commission rates issue and the uncertainty created by rates equivalent payments being directed to Treasury particularly when preparing budgets and planning for the future. Council appreciates the ongoing advocacy and support provided by our local members of Parliament and regional representatives in seeking a resolution to this matter. During the month, Council welcomed Gabrielle and Carol Russell of Wilga as new Australian citizens at a citizenship ceremony. We are honoured that your journey has brought you to our community, and we hope you will feel a true sense of belonging, friendship and happiness here. Earlier this week, CEO Leonard Long, Councillor Hack, Councillor Wright and Rylington Park Committee community member Mr Andy McRoy had the pleasure of meeting with David Farley, grandson of Eric Farley, during his visit to Rylington Park. It was valuable to hear David's reflection on the property and its future. David acknowledged the care that has been taken in maintaining the property and expressed his support for the new management model, noting that he was satisfied it would continue to honour the original intent of Eric Farley's generous gift. Discussions are progressing regarding the occupancy of One Reed Place, the former CEO residence, to accommodate an essential worker in the health sector, supporting vital health services for our community. Expressions of interest are open for the Medical Services Governance Committee and the Independent Living Unit Development Committee, closing on the 9th of September. If you believe you can contribute constructively to the discussion about the future direction of the medical services in Boyack Brook, or are committed to helping shape future independent living opportunities for the Boyack Brook community, please reach out to the Shire for details on how to apply. Nominations open on the 1st of August for the Community Awards. There are four categories: Citizen of the Year, Kevin Henderson Memorial Award, Volunteer, Sportsperson of the Year and Young Achiever of the Year. Forms and guidelines will be available on the website late tomorrow, and hard copies will be available at the Shire office. As usual, there's a lot happening across the Shire, and I thank our staff, elected members, for the time, effort and commitment they continue to give in supporting our community. Item 8, reports by elected members. So we'll just go around the table and each elected member can give a report if they have one. Councillor Hack.
Thank you. Thursday, 2nd of July, I attended the meeting presented by Donna Forsyth, Your Safety, Your Home, Our Community. We had great practical advice, including fire safety, prevention, escaping a fire, and the legal requirements of smoke alarms. I attended the first community meeting, and although we only had one ratepayer attend, he kept us busy talking for the whole hour. I hope to see more people attend next time. I attended the Rylington Park committee meeting as I attempt to get up to speed on this issue, and then recently had the opportunity to meet with David Farley out at Rylington. I was pleased to hear him say that he was quite happy with the decision to lease part of the farm and that he had been consulted before this decision was made. I was lucky to get to meet the local government minister, Hannah Beasley, on the 21st of July. I found her to be fully engaged with our discussions regarding the FPC loss of rates and the consequences for road maintenance. I commend both President O'Connell and our CEO Leonard Long for their presentation at this meeting. I attended the citizenship ceremony also. It was wonderful to be part of this joyous occasion, witnessing a local couple becoming part of our great country, especially at this time of so much negativity. I attended the Local Government Elected Members Association in Perth on Sunday. LGMA is an association which is just for elected members. I had the opportunity to meet with councillors from both the country and city councils. including Councillor Ryan Burns from Mandurah, who is the son of Kevin Burns, who taught maths at Boyup Brook District High in the 80s, and who was at this in the same school class as Councillor Ingalls. We had two speakers. Tony Brown is the new local government inspector and talked about changes to the Local Government Act. He explained how he will look for trends in local government non-compliance. He's had 115 people nominate for the new monitor positions and has appointed six so far. So he is confident he will have the right monitors to send out to settle local government disputes. Our second speaker was Di Lena, a prominent West Australian defamation lawyer, who talked about the law as it stands, especially in relation to disinformation and misinformation on social media. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hack. Councillor Ingalls?
No, I got nothing to report, thanks.
Oh, you did attend the audit risk and committee.
That's right. I did actually. I went to Corrigan last Thursday. Spent a whole day up there learning about risk and management in the Shire. And yeah, it was a very fun filled day and facts and all sorts of stuff. So it was good to go up there and have a look around and meet some people that I haven't seen since I lived out in the wet belt. So it was kind of good having connection with about 20 people in there that through some form of life. So it was good.
Thank you. Councillor Moore.
Okay, earlier this week I attended the South West Regional Road Group for elected members. It's a committee that meets in the Bunbury region. This one was in the Darden Upshire offices, and it's a group of all the South West Regional Councils, and it's primarily aimed at getting main roads and the councils together. Obviously, main roads and councils have a massive job to do maintaining our road network. So things that came out of that meeting, the CA07 heavy haulage amendment, as it's called, which requires heavy haulage contractors to notify council before they commence works on local shire roads. There's no movement on that at this stage. I think it will be ongoing, and WALGA is continuing to lobby main roads to try and get the amendment reversed. There's another committee, there's lots of subcommittees, obviously there's one called the States Roads to Local Government Advisory Committee, its acronym is SAC. As a result of some recent decisions with funding, South West Regional Roads Group intends to push to add at least two more regional representatives to SAC. The committee currently has only three regional road group representatives, compared with five from the main roads. The aim is to better balance the group and secure a stronger voice in the regions. Clearing permits is an ongoing issue, so the committee noted that the difficulty obtaining clearing permits is affecting road maintenance and improvement works, and WALGA is running workshops with stakeholders to help expedite this process where possible. Bridge maintenance. So Main Roads has advised that due to a significant reduction in the allocation for the 27-28 bridge maintenance program, at least 15 bridges in the southwest region will require emergency repairs in 26-27. Local governments will need to arrange these repairs. Main Roads can assist with design and surveillance, subject to passing audit. Local government can claim two-thirds of the cost back. So local government is going to be expected to fund one-third of the cost of emergency repairs to bridges. It was suggested that local government may wish to advocate for higher funding levels. In addition, WALGA will commence consultation. WALGA is WA Local Government Association. WALGA will commence consultation on the potential for a dedicated bridge funding source. They'll also prepare a discussion paper to prioritise critical issues. Any progress with either of those will be reported back to the Regional Roads Committee group. South West Regional Roads Group have KPIs that they're expected to meet. So road project funding spend is currently sitting, when this was put together, at 84%. which is above average compared to the last 5 years. So it spent 84% of its budget, which is above average. However, road black spot project funding spend is sitting at 34%, which is well below averages compared over the previous 5 years. This sort of highlighted that more work needs to be done by main roads and councils on identified black spot issues. And the funding's available, but only 34% of it's been spent. That can partly be blamed on the problem getting contractors to do work on roads. I know our local government crew is very busy, and to get external contractors in, it's difficult to get contractors to come in and do roadworks. There will be a future meeting. It was decided to invite the South West Development Commission, along with South West Regional State elected members, to a future meeting. They felt it could be a useful voice to raise awareness to the issues local governments face in maintaining the road network. That's the end of my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Moore. Councillor Wright?
Yes. On Monday the 27th, I went to my first meeting with the Sheep Industry Pivot Committee. And this is run by ECU. So there's, and because I'm on the Rollington Park Committee, as part of that education, I got selected to join this committee. They've got $500,000 funding from the federal government to look at ways to improve or look at new ideas in processing sheep and marketing of sheep. So there's 5-6 professors on this committee plus myself. So we've had our first meeting, and some of the ideas have been aged mutton and some struvite ideas. Anyway, it's early days, and we've got 7 meetings over about 18 months. And on Tuesday the 28th of July, I met David Farley, the grandson of Eric, on Rollington Park, and he's a lovely bloke, and it was very interesting listening to him talk about the history of the farm, and he was very pleased how it has been managed and how it looks like it's going to go forwards. That's my report.
Thank you, Councillor Wright. Councillor King?
I have nothing to report.
Thank you. Councillor Matthews?
Nothing to report. However, I've been invited to a tourist meeting with the Tourist Bureau this Wednesday, I think it is.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Item 9, Councillor Questions on Notice. We have nil. Item 10, Reports of Officers. 10.1, Operational Services. 10.1.1, Evacuation Centre Sporting Hub Upgrade Report. The officer recommendation to receive the quarterly report for the Evacuation Centre and Sporting Hub Upgrade, July 2026. Could I have a mover for that motion, please? Thank you, Councillor Ingalls. Seconder, Councillor Wright. Any questions regarding the report? Put the motion, all those in favour? Carried. Thank you. It's good to see that despite the recent winter rainfall, that the work hasn't been delayed, and that's good to see that it's progressing on time. Community Services. 10.2.1, Sandakan Scholarship Program Representation. We have an officer recommendation to endorse a councillor to represent the Shire on the interview panel for the Sandakan Scholarship on Monday the 7th of September 2026. So before I get a move for that, do we have anyone that would like to nominate for that? Councillor Hack. Can we just add Councillor Hack's name in there? Thank you. Could I have a mover for that motion, please? Councillor Ingalls, seconded Councillor Moore. Would you like to speak to the motion, Councillor Ingalls?
Yeah, sure. I think
Okay, can't see. No, I think that's a good choice of having Helen on the on that committee. She seems to have a fair bit of interest in it and sort of has some family involvement in it at the same time, so it'll be a good representative for our Shire.
Thank you. Councillor Moore?
Yeah, no, I agree that Helen will make an excellent panel member for that program.
Councillor Hack, would you like to speak about your experience for this committee?
Yes, my family connection is that my husband's uncle died on the death march in Sandakan and he's done the trip, went up there a few years back. My daughter Jo also ran the school program for several years when she was teaching English at Boyatbrook District High School, so I've had a lot to do with it over the years. Thank you. I'd love to be on the panel.
Thank you. Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. Item 10.3, financial services. Oh, yes, we have one financial interest. Although it is noted in the Local Government Act that you do not have to leave the room because... Okay, thank you, Councillor King. Councillor King left the chambers at 7:51. Could I have a mover for the motion to accept the list of payments for June 2026? Councillor Ingalls, seconded Councillor Wright. Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. Thank you, Nikki. Welcome back, Councillor King. The motion was passed. Item 10.3.2, monthly statement of financial activity for the period ending 30th of June 2026. The officer recommendation is to receive this report. Could I have a mover, please? Councillor King, seconded Councillor Wright. Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. Item 10.4.1, Boyatbrook Caravan Park monthly report for June 2026. The officer recommendation is to receive the monthly report for the caravan park for June. Could I have a mover for that recommendation, please? Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Matthews. Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. 10.5.1, Boyatbrook Medical Services Monthly Activity Report for June 2026. The officer recommendation is to receive that report. Could I have a mover for that, please? Councillor King, seconded Councillor Matthews. Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. 10.5.2, Independent Living Development, Strategic Business Case and Investment Framework. We have the officer recommendation as listed on the agenda. I will take it as read because it's rather a long one. Do I have a mover for that recommendation? Thank you, Councillor Moore. Seconded Councillor Ingalls. Are there any questions regarding the motion? Councillor Moore?
I'd like to comment rather than question. I've read through the report quite thoroughly and it appears to be a very good roadmap to move us towards an independent living development. It's framed in such a way that it's going to probably take 3 years before we get to a decision on whether we're actually going to move ahead with it. So there's a lot of thought and planning is going into it. And it's the steps are very clearly laid out. I think it's a very good draft of a very good document to move us towards independent living.
Thank you. You sounded like you spoke for it. Thank you. Councillor Ingalls, did you have a question?
No question. It's the same as what Councillor Moore said, that, this is a good way to start because it is definitely something we need to have in this town with independent living and aged care. As we know, we're all getting older and I want to live there myself one day, but let's small steps. And like Philip says, it's probably going to take 3 or 4 years, but at least we've got the ball rolling and investigating and making sure it goes through.
Yes, and it will be good to have the committee with the community members on board. I think that's 3 community members that we have spaces for on there, isn't it?
Through the chair, it was 3 or 2, but I think this particular committee was 3.
Yeah. Thank you. So we've had a couple of speakers for the motion. Would anyone like to speak against the motion? Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. Proposed disposal of Lot 32 and Lot 34 Bridge Street, Boyup Brook. We have the officer recommendation to commence the disposal process of these two lots. Do I have a mover for that recommendation, please? Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Moore. Does anyone have any questions regarding this motion? No? Would you like to speak to the motion, Councillor Wright?
I think it's what we need to do because it's not suitable for aged care, so I think it's a good idea.
Thank you. Councillor Moore?
I've less than 12 months on council, but I believe the original intention was for those blocks to be incorporated into some sort of an aged care facility. And after further investigation, it's very apparent that they're not suitable and we have a much better site. So, yes, it's the right decision to remove them on.
Thank you. Any speakers against? Speakers for? Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. Thank you. Attendance at the WALGA Annual Convention, which is the West Australian Local Government Association Convention. We have the officer recommendation to determine which councillors will attend the convention and to authorise an attendance of a senior member of staff and authorise the CEO to finalise registrations, accommodation and travel arrangements for the approved delegates. Do I have a mover for that motion, please? Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Hack. Would you like to move into committee to discuss this? Yes? Suspend standing orders. Thank you, Councillor King. And seconded by Councillor Ingalls. All those in favour? Carried. Okay. Who would like to kick off?
I think Darren and I attended it last year and we found just the AGM was the most informative part where we had to present an item on that day, whereas the other days are more interaction and meeting other councillors and looking at the displays and stuff they've had there. So if the new councillors want to go to the whole thing, I'm happy with that. But